everyone, and welcome back to the CDH Conversations podcast, the Justice and Public Interest series. I am Tobeka Lamini, a candidate attorney in the Pro Bono and Human Rights Department based in our Johannesburg office. Today's episode is different and super exciting as I will be leaving South Africa for a while and have a chat with my colleagues in the Kenyan Nairobi office. As mentioned in the introductory episode, we will be having different teams on the podcast to share some light on matters which they have either worked on previously or are currently working on pro bono. And to unpack today's focus, I am joined by Brian Mushiri, a senior associate in the Banking, Finance and Projects Department in the Nairobi office, and Lorianne Maingi, an associate also based in Kenya. Thank you so much, colleagues, for availing yourself for this quick chat. But jumping straight into it, Brian, can you give us just a brief introduction of who you are and the kind of work that you do?
Thank you, Tobeka. My name is Brian Iwia Mushiri. I'm an advocate of the High Court of Kenya and a senior associate in the CDH Nairobi office. I've been practicing as an advocate for the last 8 years. My areas of specialty are corporate M&A, back-end finance, and competition law, predominantly practicing in back-end finance. And I was recently recognized as a rising star in banking, finance, and capital markets by Legal 500 EMEA for 2023 and 2024. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much, Brian, for that introduction. I am pleased to know that I'm going to be working with you in my next rotation. And well, congratulations on your recognition, of course. What about you, Lorianne? Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Thank you, Rebecca. And Brian, congratulations on your recent recognition as a rising star. I am a practicing advocate of the High Court of Kenya, and I've been serving as an associate in the CDH Nairobi office in the Environment and Pro Bono Human Rights Department. I have been practicing as an advocate of the High Court for 3 years, and I specialize in environment law and human rights. My work focuses on biodiversity conservation, climate change, energy, and the intersection of human rights and environmental sustainability. And I'm super excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Lorianne. Can't wait to dive into the matters that we're going to be discussing today. But before that, I am aware that the Nairobi office was honored with the Pro Bono Regional Law Firm of the Year Award at the 2023 Trust Law Awards by the Thomson Reuters Foundation. Firstly, congratulations. This just had me wondering, though, if maybe there are any laws compelling legal practitioners in Kenya to take on pro bono work, or is it something that's solely at the discretion of each firm or each practitioner? I mean, what's the culture regarding pro bono work that said?
Thank you, Tobeka. So there are no laws that mandate lawyers to undertake pro bono work in Kenya. And the culture previously had been that it was largely reserved for either certain few numbers of litigation lawyers or organizations that are dedicated to give you pro bono legal services. But I'm glad to say that that culture is changing. We see more and more corporate commercial firms and lawyers actually stepping in to provide the pro bono services in their areas of expertise, and also just generally providing legal services to people in Kenya. As well, the legal landscape has changed, and there are certain institutions and government bodies which have been set up to assist in legal aid pro bono services, such as the National Legal Aid Service, which offers free legal aid to individuals who undergo vulnerable groups and marginalized communities. As well, the Law Society of Kenya, which we all are members of, typically runs a legal awareness week where all lawyers are required to provide pro bono services to members of the public.
Well, thank you for that, Brian. I think it's commendable that practitioners take in work pro bono, even though there's nothing compelling them to do so. Is there maybe a criteria on the type of clients that, you know, are taken on a pro bono basis, or is it just anyone who just approaches the firm to say, listen, we need assistance, but we don't really have money? Is there maybe like a criteria to be taken into consideration prior to taking in those matters?
So we largely provide such services based on areas of expertise. So for instance, personally, a lot of the work I do is advisory work rather than any litigious matters. And for that, we typically collaborate with pro bono legal service providers, E1 being Trust Law. So organizations like Trust Law would receive pro bono requests from members of the public and then match it with lawyers who they think would be able to provide those services. But that kind of allows us to be able to sift through the cases, and we can be able to work on cases in which we have some knowledge and understanding in. All of this, at least, working out in the best interest of the client.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's very effective for you to be advising based on your own expertise. Lorianne, could you maybe tell us a bit about one of the pro bono matters that maybe you were involved in personally?
Yeah, sure. One of the pro bono matters that I was involved in entailed addressing the challenges that journalists face in the digital age, particularly the impact of online harassment and abuse and how that impacts their ability to perform their critical roles in society. So freedom of expression and the right to information, fundamental pillars of any democracy, and journalists play a really vital role in upholding these principles by providing accurate and independent reporting. However, with the escalating prevalence of targeted online attacks, this usually threatens their safety, silences their voice, and undermines the public's access to reliable information.
That's very interesting kind of work. Do you maybe want to like walk us through how CDH was involved in the particular case? Like, how are we of service to the clients in this case?
CDH assisted in this matter by collaborating with the Thomson Reuters Foundation to develop an online harassment guide. This guide was aimed at equipping journalists with practical tools to enable them to document and manage incidences of online harassment as well as abuse. The developed guide strengthens the resilience of media professionals in an increasingly hostile digital landscape, safeguarding the general right to information, upholding freedom of press, and also promoting accurate and independent reporting.
You know, I can see how it can quickly escalate, whereas journalists are not protected from online harassment. You know, it can even get to their own lives being at risk and all of that. So I think it's very commendable, the work that you're doing that side. Ryan, can you maybe recall any memorable pro bono matters which you assisted on?
Yeah, one of the most memorable pro bono projects I've worked on was preparing a legal guide for nonprofit entities in Kenya. Maybe as some background, so the laws in Kenya around nonprofit entities are quite convoluted. You have layers upon layers of different legislations creating different requirements, and a lot of people who want to set up nonprofit entities, non-governmental organizations or trusts, it's a bit of a hurdle being able to navigate through that. So I was able to work with TrustLaw in developing a guide, which we launched in November 2024. This was quite rewarding, being able to come out with some work which can then be able to help people who are directly our clients or anybody, just anybody else who wants to get that information. And based on that, I piggybacked off that, and now I'm claiming that to be a published author. So that's also a personal benefit.
I remember in a previous podcast recording that we had in with a team based in South Africa, there was a lot of trust involvement. Yes, so I'm glad that Kenya is also assisting on a large scale in trust issues. Maybe would you like walk us through the implications that the client would have faced if they had not received that assistance from Cliffdecker?
I think the key one would have been still having members of the public having to navigate themselves through the difficult laws, or having TrustLaw themselves trying to advise. And it really is a headache having somebody who's a non-lawyer sift through all the laws and trying to understand all the legal requirements. So being able to condense that into something which is simple, agreeable, simple to understand, really did help and is continuing to help prospective clients who the firm can get, and also people who we've worked with before can then refer to the guide and at least get some knowledge and benefit of what their legal rights are without having to go see a lawyer.
Yeah, I can see how impactful the guide could be. You know, it's like hitting a thousand birds with one stone. So kudos on that. Let's go back to Lorien. Just some parting words of wisdom or advice for those people who can find themselves in similar situations or who may potentially find themselves in the same position as those in the matters that you've dealt with. What kind of words can you encourage them with?
For media organizations, I believe they should prioritize digital safety trainings. They should establish clear reporting protocols and also foster a supportive environment. And in the cases where harassment or abuse has occurred, it's quite important to act quickly by ensuring that you document the incidences, seeking professional help where necessary, and also being transparent about the situation. Collaborating with the legal, security, and mental health experts will also ensure a more effective response, minimizing harm and also protecting the journalist's rights.
And what about you, Brian?
For me, I can't stress enough the importance of understanding your legal rights before entering into any agreement, contract, or relationship. And this is key information to allow every person to be able to understand what their rights are. I think it's useful for everybody to try and educate themselves as much as they can. So being able to go online and get decent resources, which kind of tell you what your rights are in a certain situation, and as well reaching out to a lawyer or pro bono service to provide you with some advice before you actually enter into any arrangement. It's key to be able to do that to avoid having fallen into some pitfalls in the future. And if you do find yourself that you've actually fallen into some legal trouble, the quickest thing and the best thing to do is just to contact a lawyer immediately. Don't try and solve it by yourself. You'll probably end up just digging a bigger hole. and causing more issues, which might then necessitate paid services rather than it being undertaken on a pro bono. So the earlier you seek the help, the better, and the easier it is to be able to benefit from pro bono services.
Well, I guess our audience can actually attest to me saying that we really gained a lot from this podcast. I think it's commendable, the kind of work that the Kenyan office is partaking in on a pro bono basis. And even your parting words, man, I think it's so important for people to be aware that ignorance of the law isn't an excuse. You know, it can never be an excuse. They need to be aware of what's going on and seek help as soon as they possibly can. From, I guess, media journalists to private entities, I think this podcast was very beneficial for them all. Brian and Loya, thank you so much for joining me on this conversation. And to our audience, until next time.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.